الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Honorable brothers in Islam, viewers of Madani channel, there are many fada'il, virtues of reciting Salat ala Nabi, peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our hope for salvation, our intercessor, our master, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sallu alayya sallallahu alaykum. Recite Salat upon me, Allah ta'ala will descend blessings, mercy upon you. So when we know this is the case, that every time we recite Salat upon the Prophet ﷺ, Allah will send mercy upon us, then we mustn't be negligent in this regard. In fact, how beautiful is our deen of Islam, that we continuously recite Salat ala Nabi, the mercy of Allah will always descend upon us. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, the ability to recite Salat in abundance. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Let's make some good intentions prior to listening to the bayan. The Prophet عليه السلام said, نية المؤمن خير من عمله. A believer's intention is better than his action. Whenever we get the opportunity to perform good deeds, righteous deeds, we should make good intentions prior to doing them. Why? Because you'll get reward for the action and the intention as well, inshallah. The more intentions you make before permissible deeds, the more reward you will attain. So now that you're here, viewers at home, we listen to this lecture, what intentions can we make? First and foremost, we make the intention that, Ya Allah, I'm here. The viewers can make the intention that we're watching at home right now to earn the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning the pleasure of Allah, to please our Creator Allah Azza wa Jal. Then we can make the intention that, Ya Allah, whatever I hear, I will try my utmost to remember it. And not only that, I will make an effort to act upon it as well. And it shouldn't stop there. We can also make the intention that whatever we remember, whatever we act upon, we will make the intention to convey it to others as well. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said in one hadith, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. Convey from me, even if it's one ayah, one verse, one sign of the deen. So if we hear something, a hadith, an incident, a Quranic verse, and we remember it, and we gain the blessings of acting upon it, we should spread it to others as well. That's our form of tabligh, propagating the religion of Islam. May Allah Ta'ala enable all of us to make good intentions in abundance prior to permissible deeds. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is Sayyidul Mursaleen. He is the master, the leader of all the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One dalil for this, given by the ulama, is that the Prophet alayhi salam is rahmatul lil alameen. He is mercy unto all the worlds. Within the worlds, you will also include the anbiya alayhi salam, all other creations of Allah azza wa jal as well. But the Anbiya alayhimus salam are also amongst the inhabitants of the worlds. They came to this world. So when the Prophet alayhi salam is a rahmah even for the Anbiya, the Mursaleen, it therefore is proven that the Prophet alayhi salam is the master and the leader of all the messengers as well. Now, whatever facet you look at, whatever aspect you look at from the life of the Prophet alayhi salam, you will find perfection, kamal. Whether it's his blessed appearance, his shama'il, from head to toe, there is none like him in the creation of Allah. The beauty of the Prophet ﷺ is matchless. If you were to study the akhlaq of the Prophet ﷺ, then again, you will find he has the best akhlaq. Allah Ta'ala adorned him with the best khuluq and referred to his khuluq as khuluqin azeem in the Quran. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Then, if you were to look at the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, the ulama have written, the likes of Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti, rahimahullah ta'ala, that every miracle, mu'jiza, that was granted to any other Nabi, it was also granted to our Prophet alayhi salam to the level of perfection. And scholars have written books upon the mu'jizat of the Prophet alayhi salam. If you look at the leadership qualities of the Prophet alayhi salam, then even non-Muslims say that throughout history, there's never been a person who was also a religious leader, but at the same time, his intellect in regards to leadership, running a qawm, leading a qawm, managing a qawm, a nation, they could never reach the level of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whatever aspect you study from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find perfection. And you will find that he is unparalleled, in a league of his own, as they say. Why? Because he is Habibullah. In one hadith, the Prophet alayhi salam, mentioning the blessings of Allah azza wa jalla upon him, said to his sahaba, "Ana Habibullah, I am the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And when he is the beloved of Allah, from all of creation, trillions of people have come, maybe billions will come until Qiyamah. Out of all of them, Allah ta'ala made Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam his beloved and granted him the greatest rank and said in the Quran, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, and we have raised for you your remembrance. Other Anbiya alayhi salam, they pray to Allah that they be remembered amongst the latter people. For example, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, an esteemed Prophet of Allah, his statement in the Quran is, وَجَعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. Oh Allah, make the latter people speak well of me, the mafhum of the verse. وَجَعَلِّي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. And the Prophet ﷺ made no request like this. Allah Ta'ala himself said, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, that we have raised for you, we have exalted for you your remembrance. And when Allah Ta'ala is the one who is exalting the remembrance, raising the remembrance, then who knows the had in creation? We can't ever comprehend the level of that rif'at, that elevation. Nevertheless, we continue to speak about the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in order to have our names, our lowly names, written amongst those people who praised the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam throughout history. And on the Day of Judgment, inshallah, we will also be amongst those who praise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, in this bayan, the short bayan today, I would like to cover one aspect of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which again is matchless. And that is his beauty, his physical beauty. I'm not going to go into the narrations where the beauty is described in detail. That would require a lot of time. Instead, what I'm going to discuss is the Sahaba and their aqeedah regarding the blessed face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their mahabba towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gazing upon his beautiful face. So let us begin. In Shu'abul Iman, this narration is mentioned in the hadith book Shu'abul Iman of Imam Bayhaqi, rahmatullahi alayhi. An Ansari companion. You know, the Ansar were those who became companions in Al-Madinatul Munawwara. And the Muhajirun, Sahaba, are those who migrated from Makkah Al-Mukarramah towards Madinatul Munawwara. So we're talking about an Ansari companion. What happened? One day he came to the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Wallah, he took an oath upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are more beloved to me than my own life, my offspring, my family, and all my relatives. You are more beloved to me than all of them. Even more beloved than my wealth as well. We know humans are attached to their wealth. Mal, hubbul mal, is inherent. And the scholars say each person has greed in him to a certain extent. Now, this Sahabi says, more than my wealth, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love you. And then he says, whenever I'm deprived of witnessing your blessed countenance, your beautiful face, whenever I'm not in a position to look upon your noble face, glance upon it, to gain blessings and barakat from it, it's as if I'm about to die. These are the words of that Sahabi, that companion. That if I don't see your face, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's as if I'm about to die. And then when he said this, he was overcome with grief. He began to cry. When he began to cry, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, why are you crying? He says, soon death will come. We know death is haq. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. The Quran tells us. So this Sahabi says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know that death is close. We know the Prophet alayhi wa sallam departed from this world as well. And the Sahabi saying, I will depart as well. But in the Akhirah, if I'm blessed with Jannah, for your sake, for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I'm blessed with Jannah, then I'm thinking about that time. And I'm thinking about your elevated rank in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will be in Jannatul Firdaus. You will be amongst the other Anbiya alayhim salam. And although I will be in Jannah, but the way I have proximity to you in the dunya, that whenever I want, I can come and see you. And I cool my eyes by looking upon your blessed face. In Jannah, that won't be possible. I won't have that ease of access. Look at this Sahabi. Today in the dunya, we're all stressed. We're all worried about dunyawi things. You know, bank balance goes down. We suffer some financial loss, something to do with family. And don't get me wrong, these are things that can affect a person. But if we let them overwhelm us, then that's it. We just become so dominated by dunyawi khayalat and thoughts. But look at the Sahaba. They lived in this world as well. And let's be honest, those times were very difficult. They weren't affluent times 1400 plus years ago. Those people were people of contentment. They were happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given them. So this Sahabi in the dunya is thinking about the Akhirah. And he's thinking about Jannah and how he won't be able to frequently see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he shared that this is why he's crying, this is why he's grief-stricken, this is why he's worried. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam consoled this Sahabi. During this time, what happened, Jibreel alayhi salam came down with revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know Jibreel alayhi salam is that angel alayhi salam who would bring revelation to all the Anbiya alayhi salam. And on this occasion, he came down with a verse of Surah Nisa. Surah Nisa, verse 69, para 5. What was that verse? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِم مِّنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. What was that verse? And whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, then he will be amongst those who Allah has favored, i.e. the prophets, the siddiqeen, the truthful ones, the shuhada, the martyrs, and the salihin. And what great companions are they? This verse was revealed to show to that Sahabi that, oh Sahabi, don't worry. Don't worry about what will happen in the Akhirah. Because Allah Ta'ala is saying, if you obey Allah and His Messenger, then you will be with the Messenger in the Akhirah as well. You will be with the Nabiyeen. You will be with Siddiqeen. You will be with the Shuhada. You will be with the Salihin. So there's no need to worry. But what is the condition? What is the shart? وَمَن يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ. Whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger. So dear brothers, in attendance, views of Madini Channel, what do we learn from this account? We learn that the Sahaba knew about the great ni'mah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had ma'rifa of this. To this extent that they would think in the Akhirah that in the dunya, we get to see the Prophet alayhi salam, sit with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but what if in the Akhirah we're deprived of this? And these thoughts would go through their mind constantly. And they would relay this in the court of the Prophet alayhi salam and look at the reward, subhanallah, as mentioned in the ayah. You obey Allah and His Messenger, you will be with the Prophet alayhi salam in the Akhirah. So this is also bishara for us as well, glad tidings for us as well. Because we are not from the Sahaba. We did not live our physical life with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But look at the bishara, al-bisharatul uzma, great glad tiding from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You obey Allah and His Messenger, you act upon the faraid of the deen, you save yourself from muharramat, haram acts, and what will happen, what will be the reward? You will be in Jannah with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning you will see the Prophet alayhi salam, you will visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will gain the blessed company, you will have the sharaf of gaining the blessed company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. So subhanallah. And that blessed face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, so noble, so unique, so beautiful, that when discussing the prophethood of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, scholars have gone as far as saying, لَوْ لَمْ تَكُنْ فِيهِ آيَاتٌ مُبَيِّنَةٌ, that if no other sign was visible regarding the nabuwa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, if there was no other sign of prophethood, then just the mere face, the beautiful face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be sufficient in expressing that he is the Prophet of Allah. And this happened. So many people saw the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and entered the fold of Islam. And when they saw that face, that luminous, beautiful, noble face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the state of their heart changed forever, for the better. Let's listen to an example. This is in Sahih Bukhari, this hadith. Sayyiduna Thumama bin Uthal Yamami, he was a leader of the people of Yamama. And what happened? It's a lengthy narration. He was imprisoned because he was at war with the Muslims. He got imprisoned. And for a few days, he witnessed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming and going to the masjid. He saw the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the conclusion he came to. He says that by Allah, he took an oath upon the dhat of Allah. He said, by Allah, there was no face more disliked to me on the surface of this earth than your face. Meaning he's referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But now when he has seen the luminosity of that face, when he has seen close up the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, now there is no face on earth more beloved to me. Sayyiduna Thumama bin Uthal. Again he takes an oath. Wallahi, he says, there was no deen, no religion on earth more despised by me than your religion, meaning the religion of the Prophet. But now, there is no deen on the surface of this earth that is more beloved, more cherished by me than your deen, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only that, he doesn't stop there. He takes another qasam. And he says, there was no city on earth which was more disliked by me than your city, meaning Madinatul Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now there is no city more beloved to me than your city, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here we learn again that the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like no other face in creation. And subhanallah, people would gaze upon the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the halat, the state of their heart would change for the better. They would be blessed with iman. And you heard before this how the Sahaba would yearn to see that face. And they'd be worried about the Akhirah. What if we can't see the Prophet ﷺ in Jannah? What if we can't gaze upon this beautiful face? This face that the Sahaba described as more beautiful than the moon. This is that noble face. So let us hear a few more accounts in this regard. There was a woman. This is in the era of the Prophet ﷺ. There was a woman whose brother, whose father, and whose husband all went to battle. There was an expedition, and all three of them participated. They were from the Muslim side. Now what happened? This woman, one by one, she gains khabar, she gains news that her father, her son, her brother rather, and her husband, they've all been shaheed. They've all been martyred. They've all died in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know the rutbah, the status of a martyr in Islam. that before his blood even falls on the ground, he sees his maqam in Jannah. And there are so many other fadail of the shuhada. In the verse I mentioned earlier on, it states that whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then he will be with those who Allah has favored. And who were they? Min al-Nabiyyin wa Siddiqeen wa Shuhada'i wa Salihin. The prophets, the truthful ones, the shuhada and the salihin. The shuhada are amongst those who Allah has favored. So, her brother, her father, and her husband have attained the ultimate goal, shahadat, martyrdom. And because of which, they will gain an elevated rank in the akhirah. Now, naturally, when you're given this news, imagine the shock. Imagine the concern. Imagine the stress. Imagine the trauma. All of this. Even if one of those family members had passed away, this was enough in terms of being a cause of grief. But she's lost three family members. Her father, her brother, her husband. But you know how she replied? You know what her reply was? You know what she said to the one who gave this khabar to her, this sad news to her? He said, forget everything else. Tell me, how is the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How is my beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And they said, he's fine. The Prophet alayhi wa sallam is fine. But her heart was not mutmain. She said, I want to see. I want to physically see this. So, she was presented in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And when she saw this with her own eyes, she saw that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive and well. He's safe. No harm has reached him. And that's when she mentioned those beautiful words, which are worthy of being written in golding. She said, "Kullu musibatin ba'daka jalalun." That Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after seeing you safe and well and healthy, unharmed, every other musibat is minor. Every other calamity, every other affliction, every other tragedy is minor, minimal. This was the iman of that woman in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahabiya, she's a female companion. And she said these words. Now today we must reflect as well. We all claim to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But how truthful are we in that claim? We find it hard to take out 10 minutes a day to recite Durood Sharif, let's be honest. And these were people who lived day and night to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you begin to mention those narrations where Sahaba showed examples of adab in the court of the Prophet alaihi wasallam, we would require a lengthy period of time. How they would compete with one another over the wuzu water of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the blessed hair of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was being distributed, how again they would compete with one another just to gain the honor of having in their ownership the blessed hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were unique examples. We can never ever attain the rank of a sahabi. And in this regard, listen to, again, a powerful account. Very powerful account. Subhanallah. It's narrated that there was a person who just accepted Islam. And there a call came for expedition, for battle. Now this sahabi who's just become a Muslim, He's embraced Islam. He's seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and there the call arrives for battle, and he steps forward. He puts himself forward for this. The Sahaba, they were fearless people. They were warriors. And when Iman entered their heart, subhanallah, this changed them completely. And they thought about the prominence of the deen, helping Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Helping the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does Allah ta'ala say in the Quran? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, in tansurullaha yansurkum wa yuthabbit aqdamakum. That, O believers, if you help the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will help you and He will make your feet steadfast. So this sahabi, he's just embraced Islam. He's gone to battle. And in battle, he tastes martyrdom. He gains martyrdom, the rutba of a shaheed. Now the question is, how come this personality who we are referring to, He hasn't read any namaz. He hasn't kept a fast. No salah. No sajda in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No sadaqah. Because look, he's just embraced Islam and now he's in the battlefield. He didn't have time for any of that. So no ibadat. Bazahir. No sajda in the court of Allah. No sadaqah. No zakat. No hajj. No saum. Yet, any wali who comes after, any pious person who comes after this sahabi, who's not a sahabi, a qutb, a ghawth, someone from the abdal, someone from the autad, the highest ranks of the awliya, the siddiqeen, regardless of their rank, all the sujood they carried out, all the sadaqah they gave, all the ibadat they performed, they can never ever reach the rank of this sahabi. He just accepted Islam, gone to battle, and he's attained martyrdom. The question is how? Subhanallah, the ulama beautifully answer. They say the ibadat that this sahabi carried out, no one thereafter can carry out. And what was that? Gazing upon the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know in narrations, النَّظْرُ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِ عَلِيٍّ عِبَادَةً, that looking towards the face of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh is ibadah. You gain the reward of ibadah. Then what about the maqam of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the master of even Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that personality who, when he said to the sahabi, ask whatever you want, the sahabi said, أَسْأَلُكَ مُرَافَقَتَكَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, that I ask for your companionship in Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, didn't say, oh sahabi, what are you doing? Why are you asking for my companionship in Jannah? I can't give that. Don't ask me about these things. No, in fact, the Prophet ﷺ said, anything else? Would you like anything else? Meaning, this is guaranteed for you. Don't worry about that. And that is why the ulama say, Allah Ta'ala has made the Prophet ﷺ the owner and distributor of Jannah, paradise. Now this sahabi, how fortunate, subhanallah. He just accepted Islam, embraced Islam, iman is in his heart. He said labbaik to the amr, the command of going to battle in the Muslim army. And he's become shaheed. He hasn't performed a single sajda, not given sadaqah, not fasted, not given zakat, not performed hajj. But as mentioned, no one after him from the awliya, from those who are not sahaba, can ever reach his rank. Even though they may have performed ibadah in abundance. What is that ibadat? That ibadat is gazing upon the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something to be understood, that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is unique in every single aspect. But the question is, are we understanding the elevated maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The more mahabbah we have, the more we remember the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more we recite salat upon him, the more we read his seerah, the more we read about what he did for us ummatis, our love will increase for him. And remember, even in the time of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, there were other people who gazed upon that blessed face, but they did not benefit. So what does this show us? That you must look, your glance, your gaze towards the Prophet alayhi wa sallam must be filled with mahabbah. Otherwise, Abu Lahab saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam numerous times. Abu Jahl saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam numerous times. But it wasn't with the nazar of iman. It wasn't the sight of iman that they looked with. They looked with enmity. They considered him a normal human being like them. They did not give him any izzah, any respect, reverence at all. And this is why they were deprived. And today as well, unfortunately, people, ma'azallah, I don't know how they can even utter statements like this. The Prophet ﷺ was a normal person like us. He came and delivered a message and he's left. Now think about it, on the Day of Judgment, the hadith of Shafa'a comes to mind, which is mentioned in Sahih Bukhari, when we'll be made to go to one prophet, then another prophet, then another prophet, then another prophet. Each prophet will say, I'm worried about myself today. Go to so-and-so. Until eventually Isa alayhi salam will say, go to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He can only help you today. And when we go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will say, Ana laha, I am for this. Don't Don't worry, I am the one who will open the door of shafa'ah and intercession. I will do this. This unique rank and honor is given to the Prophet alayhi salam. Now here the ulama raise a question, and they answer it as well. They say, why were we made, or why will people be made to go from one prophet to another prophet to another prophet? Allah Ta'ala could have revealed to people to go to the Prophet alayhi salam straight away. And they answer so beautifully and say, in the dunya, there are many people who don't understand the rank of the Prophet alayhi salam. They don't try to understand his rank, his maqam in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they deny his fadail, his kamalat, his excellencies, what Allah Ta'ala has bestowed upon him. They try to deny it. But in the akhirah, nobody can deny. All of creation will be there. All of creation will witness the maqam of Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith of shafa'ah is telling us that nobody can deny it on that day. When they see that even this prophet, esteemed prophet, is saying, go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All of the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam are saying, we cannot help you today. But who will say, I can help you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, the ulama advise, they instruct the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that today, seek refuge in the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the greatest door to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are fortunate and you believe in the Prophet alayhi wa sallam as you should believe in him, then subhanAllah, he is a guarantor for you entering Jannah. He is a guarantor for you going towards the gardens of Jannah. He is the Shafi'ah. He is the intercessor. He is the beloved of Allah. And today in this Darul Dunya, it's Darul Amal. We have to show that in our actions that we respect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We honor the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We love him more than everything. As you heard in the narration about the Ansari Sahabi, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I love you more than myself, more than my family, more than my children, more than my wealth, more than everything. This is the test for us as well. How much do we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That will reflect in our actions. How much do we remember him daily? Do we take time out to recite salawat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Simple forms of durood sharif. Or is it the case that we can spend hours on social media, hours meeting up with friends, but when you ask somebody, when was the last time you recited 50 salawat ala nabi or 100 salawat ala nabi? Unfortunately, many people will say, I can't remember. It's not the case for everyone. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us an ummah who understand the maqam of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who respect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who love the Prophet alayhi salam more than everything, and we are able to show that in our actions as well. May Allah Ta'ala accept what has been said and enable us to act upon it. Ameen. Bijahi Nabiyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
For the sake of Medina, we are calling upon you, Allah. We are calling upon you, Allah.